watching the Orioles. Watching the Orioles. Watching the Orioles.
Welcome back to Bird's Eye View. When it comes to the Orioles, this weekly podcast is your official source for a lack of insight and for baseless opinions. Today is March 27th, 2024. This is episode 384. And Jake, once again, we have made it. My name is Scott Magnus.
I'm Jake English.
And on this week's show, we're going to raise a glass and give a little wink to an old favorite.
We'll also devise some new measures of unit when it comes to measuring excitement for the Baltimore Orioles.
And we'll do that after we lubricate the show. It's time for the drink of the week. Jake, what are you imbibing on this week?
Scotty, at this moment and for this week, I'm enjoying, oh boy, what a beer. It is a Natty Bo winking at me in an orange can. We might talk about that a little bit later.
Much better than a Michelob Ultra. That's what I'll say. So whoever left that for you, I greatly appreciate it. I was actually out of beer in my fridge, except for my baseball beer, which I'll be having tomorrow. And I am, you know, taking a National Bohemian from you, cheersing it with you, getting ready for the season. Oh boy, what a beer. And, you know, it's just going to be a fun aspect. You doing a baseball beer this year?
I absolutely do. I have a Loose Cannon waiting for me in the very back of the fridge. Pretty excited about it. It's been there since the end of last season. It is the bridge. It is the bridge.
Now, do you remember who gave you that Loose Cannon?
I think I did, because I came to you in a panic.
I came to you in a panic
in the last day or two of the season. And I said, oh my gosh, I don't have a baseball beer. Yep. And he said, nope.
I got you covered.
I got this covered. So it arrived on the last day of the season. It went directly to the back of the fridge.
Yep.
And ready for consumption.
So again, baseball beers, you know, you basically save a beer from the previous year, you drink it on the first day and do it. But I think this is the first year that we are sharing a baseball beer from the same pack, from the same aspect. So we are baseball beer brothers?
That's a weird statement, but I'm...
It's like Eskimo Brothers. You know what Eskimo Brothers is, right?
I'm following. I highly encourage this behavior. Not only drinking in the morning on opening day,
being an Eskimo brother,
but also the baseball beer. If Birdland, you are following along with us and you have your own baseball beer, make sure you snap a picture and send it our way. Instagram is probably the best way to do that, but you can do that on any social. And if you're interested in seeing what we are imbibing on a daily, weekly, hourly basis on opening day, come find us on Untappd. I'm at Jake E 4025.
I'm at MAGN 8606. And with that, it's time for a checkup.
Time for your checkup. Time for your checkup. I'm gonna check your ears, check your eyes, find out how much you've grown. Time for your checkup.
Just gonna listen to your heartbeat, fix you up, ready to go.
Time for your checkup. It's okay if you giggle.
This will only tickle a little.
Time for your checkup. Time for your checkup.
All right, so nothing too much new on the medical wing.
Just duration. Not even new content.
But I mean, I think the big news obviously is kind of keeping touch with Kyle Bradish and John Means. And it sounds like John Means is going to start doing a rehab assignment in Norfolk, which, you know, seems to line up with the timeline that the Orioles gave us for his potential return. Still no word on Kyle Bradish about when he is going to start it.
They're saying the first half of the season. I don't really know what to think of that.
I think it's hopes and prayers and, you know, we'll see what happens. But yeah, I mean, I'm glad to see John Means, you know, being on the timeline that they threw out there. We'll see what happens with Kyle Bradish and we'll go from there. But I think that's about it for right now from the medical wing. You know, there was a brief panic today too, where new ownership was a little bit short of breath while they were waiting for a vote. But it was hour to hour, not even day to day. So everything was good.
I think we were breathless more so than the ownership group.
That's a possibility. Well, with that, we're going to go cover some 280 characters. We're going to cover some tweets, some toots, some whatever you want to call it this week on the socials. So, Jake, why don't you kick us off this week?
All right, we are going to start on X, formerly Twitter.
Oh, so no toots.
No toots this week. Sorry. I had no interesting toots for you,
yes.
Scott. This is from Jake Rill, who tweets at Jake D. Rill. Gunnar Henderson and Colton Cowser, hashtag Orioles teammates in big leagues again, made their annual trip to the Lego store today to pick out their sets for their yearly competition. Henderson wasn't ready to reveal what they are. They've done Star Wars themed stuff in the past. Scott, this is what I need more coverage of. This right here, this is the good stuff.
Jake, were you a big Lego kid when you were a kid?
I think it's an unfair question.
Are you still a Lego kid?
Yes, I was a huge Lego kid as a kid, and yes, I am still a big Lego kid.
Now, were you one of those individuals that just basically free build, or were you an individual that actually did the sets?
You put the set together.
Uh-huh.
You look at it. Uh-huh. You go, that's great. Then you take it apart, and you're like, what can I mine out of this set for the regular pieces? I was a free builder.
All right, so you're a free builder. Was there a specific set that really resonates to you from your childhood?
I mean, I had a couple, right? Yeah. I had the Robin Hood set. That was super cool.
Of course, I mean, duh. I mean,
yes, I had the Robin Hood set, but they were They were people, not animals. Yeah. I was kind of disappointed. I had a Revolutionary War set that was cool, and then I had a bunch of space sets. So that was
There was the 1980s medieval like castle set. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about with like the skeleton and stuff like that. That one still resonates with me. Like I think I, you know, ripped that apart, put it back together, ripped it apart, put it back together again. It was just, you know, it was like puberty for me, basically.
I will say that I became very disappointed when my kids were like, "Yeah, I'm done with Legos.
I'm done with Legos.
Why?
Right. Well, now you've got Colton Cowser, so he can be the son that you never had, is the best way to put it. Jake, is it here? Is it time? This tweet comes from the new Baltimore Orioles owner, David M. Rubenstein. You can follow him at DM_Rubenstein, because again, DM Rubenstein was taken. He had to go with the underscore. my video message to at Orioles fans, the next chapter starts now. So, did we have liftoff?
I don't know. All right, let's talk. First of all, it's great. Yeah. It's great that he is now officially the owner, the control person.
He pronounced Baltimore correctly.
Very excited about it.
Very excited.
But I will say this whole next chapter stuff, cool branding.
Yep.
They dropped some next chapter teasers for us.
Sure.
Apparently there's going to be a video series that's going to, you know, be on the team's socials and YouTube and whatnot. And they said they would be dropping it today. Mm-hmm. There was a trailer for it.
Yeah.
And then today, a 2-minute and 49-second video dropped. Scott, did I waste all that excitement for a trailer for a trailer?
No, because this is just the next chapter specifically in the first increment. So again, you know, there'll be multiple iterations of this. There'll be multiple episodes coming out. It's going to be like a choose your own adventure. We just can't flip back if we don't like the ending.
We did an episode like that once.
Yeah, yeah, I know. It gets old hat here at Bird's Eye View. All right, so next tweet comes from Threads. And Jake, I have to ask the question, is this real life? And this comes back to MLB.com put their predictions out there. They polled 88 individuals and kind of authors on MLB.com. And on there, the Orioles were listed as the AL East champions. Cool, cool. That's awesome. Then the Orioles were listed as the AL champions. All right, like... All right. Mm-hmm. And then the Orioles were listed as the World Series champions, beating the Los Angeles Dodgers. Jake, is this real? Is this reality that we're dealing with?
People's excitement. And
what would Fangraphs say to this?
People's excitement outside of Baltimore is real. People's excitement inside of Baltimore is real. I don't know if the Orioles being World Series champions is real. We're about to start finding out tomorrow. What I can say is that prediction is not insane. And that statement
is insane. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's mind boggling to me on this basis. Jake, take us to the finale for this week on the socials.
I'm going
to
head over to Blue Sky. And over on Blue Sky, we've got MLB trade rumors at MLB trade rumors bot.bsky. So anyway,
something.
Orioles sign Tony Kemp, designate Nick Maton. In any event, the Orioles have signed Tony Kemp. I think he's likely to make the roster over some of those other cats. Scott, I ask you, but why?
Well, we obviously need a second baseman.
All right, I see what you've done there. I don't like it / love it. Why did they go and get Kemp when they had other options, you know, in-house?
So this is very simple. The Orioles went to Jackson Holliday. They were actually going to offer him a position on the opening day roster. Mike Elias sat down with him and said, "Hey, Jackson, you had a great spring training. We'd like to offer you a roster position. Your uniform number is going to be 12. And Jackson said, "That's not my number." And he says, "No, your number is going to be 12. And Jackson refused. So Tony Kemp was called up and says, "Hey, how would you like to be a Baltimore Oriole?" And he said, "Cool." And Mike Elias said, "You're going to be number 12. And he said, "Cool." And Mike Elias said, "I've got my number 12 second baseman again for another year."
He came to him and said, "Sir, I need you to be 12. okay, that is one theory. But I guess my question is, why Kemp over Wong for a short period of time?
I don't know.
Why Kemp over Tyler Nevin for a short period
of time? I don't know.
Why? Okay, so this doesn't...
He's a nice guy.
Yeah, and a plus defensive player. Don't get me wrong. He can play a mean second base.
And again, you know who originally drafted him.
Okay. All right. I hear that.
Dan Duquette 2.0 lives on.
So he's Tim Beckham is what you're telling me.
I'm not even going to go that far, actually. But I mean, it is what it is. Well, let's see how many games he actually gets into. Let's see how many starts he makes. If he starts edging out Jordan Westberg in the lineup, I'm going to have words, is the best way to describe it. I'm going to be really upset. I don't think that's going to happen. I think he's going to kind of be on the bench to be used as necessary. It just seems weird. It just seems weird. Like, if someone gets injured, great, you bring someone up from Norfolk. I don't get it.
I was hoping for that late off-season surprise move that the Orioles would pull. This was not the thing I was hoping.
This was not Nelson Cruz.
This was not Nelson Cruz. Yeah. No, it certainly wasn't. All right, let's leave the socials there. Follow us all over. We're everywhere, even on that toot thing. Scotty, I'm thirsty. Let's take a second, refresh our beverages, and let's talk to somebody that might know something about this beer of ours. The 2024 season is about to begin. Everything is about new beginnings. And when we talk about new beginnings, we also have to talk about a return to certain traditions. We're joined now by Jeremy Knapp, who is the local representative for Natty Bow, who is here to talk about a very exciting development with Baltimore baseball. Scott, I don't know if you've heard, but Natty Bow's back at the ballpark for the first time since 2016. We, of course, are very excited. Oh boy, what a beer. What a time to be an Orioles fan. Jeremy, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. So first things first, a little birdie may have delivered some Natty Bow to us strictly for research purposes. This is absolutely just for us to get an understanding of what it is that we're dealing with. But for the uninitiated, I was hoping that you could just kind of walk us through this a little bit. You know, Natty Bow returns to Camden Yards for the first time since 2016, clearly, you know, a win for the fans, both of the baseball team and of the beverage. Can you talk to us a little bit about the process of getting these two beloved Baltimore brands back together?
So really just, you know, with our parent company, Pabst Brewing, we've got a new team locally, you know, just that understands the importance of the Orioles, you know, with Natty Bow, you know, obviously based in Baltimore in 1885. So there's a lot of heritage there. We just really wanted to try to do everything possible to get that partnership, you know, rekindled. You know, and it took a little bit of a process. I came on board just before opening day last year, so wasn't really able to get it rolling. But, you know, we worked with our distributor, Chesapeake Beverage, and, you know, made it happen for this season. So we're super pumped.
Yeah, yeah. As I think our Orioles fans.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. I mean, I remember when Natty Bow, you know, was in essence, you know, kicked out of the stadium, there was a lot of animosity is the best way to describe it. You know, fans were in uproar. And when I've been talking to people this week, you know, after the announcement was being made, There was a lot of excitement, even, you know, bringing back aspects of like, was the Natty Bo bar going to be coming back? And again, it's this standpoint of kind of a local Baltimore pride standpoint. It's still the aspect where I can go down to Brewer Hill and I can see the Winking Natty Bo on that basis. And my question is, you know, how does the brand specifically from a Natty Bo standpoint continue to kind of cultivate that relationship? Obviously, being in Camden Yards is a really big deal because there's nothing quite like having a Natty Bo on a hot summer day on that basis. But what are some other things that Natty Bo and Pabst are going to be doing in the future to kind of cultivate this continued relationship with the Baltimore area?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, that's, you know, that's the biggest thing that we thrive on is the heritage and, you know, people's nostalgia of the brand. So we're going to, you know, just continue to work locally, you know, wherever it makes sense and try to partner with, you know, with the right partners, keep people, you know, entrenched in Baltimore that love our brand.
Well, you know, I think we have one clear solution. You know, there was a lot of noise earlier in the off season about the Orioles potentially selling off the naming rights to Camden Yards. And there was a short list of brands that people would have been comfortable with without, you know, grabbing their pitchforks and torches about a partnership with the stadium. So, you know, clearly, Scott and I here at Bird's Eye View, we have the ear of the warehouse. We're incredibly influential when it comes to Orioles movers and shakers. And so, you know, if now is the right time, let us know. You can give your best pitch for, you know, a sponsorship partnership with the stadium. And we, you know, we'd be happy to pass that along. Do you think, you know, Natty Bo should be on the stadium?
That would be pretty cool. But we're just super excited. We're super excited to be back in the stadium.
One step at a time, right? Let's not overshoot our coverage. Right. That's fine.
And it's been Oriole Park at Camden Yards since the beginning. So that's
absolutely.
You know, also, would I don't know if we want to be the ones to be the first to change that either.
That's right. Now, you know, Scott talked about Mr. Bo winking at us in signage. I think it's fun that this brand is as much a statement of local pride as it is a beverage, right? For a lot of people, the two are completely and inextricably linked. Where is the weirdest spot that you have seen the Winking Bo logo? Because I feel like it is everywhere you go.
Yeah, I couldn't even begin to count how many tattoos I've seen as soon as I mention where I work. You know, I was in DC working with a rep down there who lived in Florida, who grew up in Maryland. And he was like, oh, I've got Mr. Bo tattooed right here. And it's like, wow, that's, you know, just carrying it on. And he was, you know, 23, I believe. But yeah, the tattoos are always the one that's most impressive, and I love bringing, you know, people from my company that work all over the country, and they see the love that Mr. Bo has. You know, a lot of restaurants downtown. You know, you can find him on salt boxes. You can find him pretty much everywhere, and we have a lot of the, you know, quote unquote heritage brands in our portfolio. We sell Old Style in Chicago. We sell Rainier up in the Pacific Northwest. A lot of the brands that, you know, that people love in their local region, and everybody, no matter where they're from across the country, is always super impressed with the love that Natty Bo has.
You're saying not as many Rainier tattoos?
I have not personally seen a Rainier tattoo. I don't get out to the Pacific Northwest a ton, but I've not seen any. But I have, like I said, I've seen plenty of Mr. Bo tattoos.
Yeah. So speaking of these cans that Jake is drinking right now for Natty Bo.
For research purposes only,
I wanted to kind of get a clarification on that standpoint. So it's a very, you know, intricate orange color can standpoint. Is that can going to only be sold at Camden Yards? Are we going to be able to find that at our local establishment of choice to potentially pick up these in the future outside of Camden Yards?
You will be able to find it in local establishments.
That is good, because that's exactly what I wanted to hear. I wanted to be able to hear that I can drink it in Camden Yards. But again, if I wanted to have my crabs this summer, I could go and pull those, you know, lovely orange cans and drink them with my crabs while I'm eating them this summer as well. Talk to me about a little bit about that design process that goes through when you're kind of, you know, creating that aspect. We just talked about the nostalgia piece, the memory aspect of you know, the winking standpoint. But like when you're designing a can, and in essence, pulling people back into the brand. What do you guys do in terms of consideration of basically establishing a can from a design standpoint to really resonate with the fans?
We have a fantastic graphics team that works at our company, and do a lot of research with old imagery, trying to keep it relevant, but not go too futuristic with the designs. And then, we also have to be very careful with logos and things along those lines as well.
Well, again,
make sure it's Natty Bo and that's it. And just pick a color and happen to pick orange.
Yeah. I think about this whole process. And again, I'm very much a one of history, and, Natty Bo has a history of Baltimore as well on this basis. And I can't think more about the timing of this whole situation. Again, we're coming into, now having Natty Bo back in the stadium, first time since 2016. And I can't help but think it's a standpoint of the Orioles haven't had a playoff win, in this period of time since Natty Bo was outside the stadium. And I really think it's a great opportunity. Again, 2024, last year was a great year for 2023, 101 wins. But again, kind of got skunked is the best way to describe it with in the playoffs. So, maybe Natty Bo is in essence going to be the missing component of last year's playoff run. And maybe, having a Natty Bo in October, for example, will lead us to kind of a little bit of victory as well as a very talented organization.
Hopefully early November too.
Hopefully early November as well. I love it is the best way to describe it. So,
yes. Well, I'm feeling the pressure on that one. Definitely.
I do have one last item I would like to invite. First, you, Jeremy, to get the first word. Second, I'd like to throw it out there to Scott, the listeners. But I have a family argument that takes place year after year. This is a piece of English family strife. And so, of course, I'm going to bring you into it. Natty Bo, you talk about, the proud tradition of being in Baltimore and how people have connected with generations. My great-grandmother apparently... drank this beer over ice exclusively. And there is a raging debate in my household over the course of generations as to whether or not that is an acceptable practice. And so I just want to go to the source. Is Natty Bo on the rocks okay?
Well, for me personally, I would not argue with your grandmother, but... I've never had an issue with a Natty Bo getting warm on me, so I've never needed the ice. But really, when it comes down to it, if it's whatever your personal preference is, as long as you're having one.
And again, more
one
importantly,
is
on that basis,
not happening.
Yeah, and again, on that basis, you'll now be able
one.
To. Yeah, you'll have one, and you'll be able to have one or more while in Camden Yards. So. With that, Jeremy, thanks so much for joining us on Bird's Eye View to talk a little bit about Natty Bo returning to Camden Yards. We are eagerly anticipating it. I know Jake has already popped open a few cans to kind of celebrate, to cheers this occasion.
What a beer.
Exactly. But again, on Thursday when we're at the park and then throughout the rest of the season, we're looking forward to popping open a Natty Bo and cheersing with the rest of our fan base. So, Jeremy, thanks so much for the time. And again, let's go O's. And thank you so much for joining us.
Definitely. Thanks for having me, guys.
Scotty, tomorrow is opening day.
We made it.
We made it.
Again.
Scotty, it's baseball season. By the time most people hear this, it will be baseball season. Hey, by the time most people listen to this, the Orioles may have already won a baseball game.
It's possible.
In 2024. I'm super excited.
How can you not be? We talked about it last week. Orioles fandom is one of the most, optimistic fan bases in all Major League Baseball. What a crazy, bizarre world we live in.
It's taken me a little bit to ramp up, but my blood pressure is finally, up in a good way.
You're finally excited.
Finally, I'm finally there. And Scotty, I've been trying to like express how I feel, like how excited am I? And, I realize that there's no meter for fan love, right? Except for the one on the scoreboard. And that's just weird. But it got me to thinking, perhaps we should express ourselves in new and interesting units of measure. And so I figured maybe we could just talk about that a little bit. And so let's just go back and forth, talk about some things that are going to come up. Let's start with opening day festivities. Mm-hmm. One of my all-time favorite things is to get, you know, downtown super early, but be in my seat for the presentations and for the Orioles roster coming down the orange carpet. And so, Scotty, for me, I'm in an 8.5 out of 10 Jim Hunter bow ties as excitement for the opening day festivities player intros.
Yeah, I am 100 feet long orange carpet excited for player intros.
Wow. Are you 1.5 manager jersey appearances excited for player intros?
I am absolutely.
Well, you know, that's not the only thing that we'll get a first or rare look at on opening day. You know, there's going to be some new looks to the ballpark. There is every year.
Yeah.
You know, we don't have the excitement over the wall like we have recently, but there are a few, you know, new signs, some changes to places like that. And so I am 3 out of 4 flight deck excited to see what the park has in store for us.
See, I'm different on this one. I am 2023 playoff win excited over some new signage in the stadium.
How? How dare you, sir?
That's just my personal opinion.
I have no problem with your opinion. It's the way you said it.
Less is more.
Oh, jeez.
Less is more.
All right. Staying on opening day, there has the possibility for some weather.
Yeah.
Right. And listen, I have
seen Jake English during weather events on opening day.
I've willed weather away from Camden Yards.
You've got him very, let's just say if it was snowing, there'd be no snow on the ground because there was so much salt being poured out of you.
But if it gets, you know, if there is some precipitation in the air, you and I are going to be just fine. And that is because our regular season tickets are under the overhang.
Yep.
Up on the third deck there. And so I am 10 out of 10 Maryland State Police helicopter mid-game flyovers excited for being dry, regardless of the precipitation.
And for the rest of you, I am one rally towel that is being given out to you for free away from a dry seat.
I will say, look, quick tangent here. I have been caring for a field for Henry's baseball team over the past week, trying to get some practices in.
Labor of love.
His season starts on the 30th, and I have pulled like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of gallons off this field and have raked and tractored and refilled with dirt. I think I'm going to be more upset, to be honest with you, if I miss out on Saturday's doubleheader than I would having to move opening day from Thursday to Friday.
And this is why Jerry Burns has people for this.
Now, listen, there has been so much Advil consumed in this project.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Back to the baseball.
Back to the units of measure.
Back to the units of measure. Scotty, we have talked ad nauseum, as has the rest of Birdland, about Corbin Burns.
Yeah.
And we are going to see him on opening day.
Sure.
In the flesh for the first time. I know that Orioles fans in spring training got an early look at him, but that's not
the same
baseball.
Yeah.
And so I ask you, what is your level of excitement in the most new and interesting unit of measure you can come up with for seeing Corbin Burns on opening day?
A good solid long toss. That's my unit of measure for it. I'm excited. I'm ready to get stretched out with him. But again, if he doesn't have a great day, I'm not going to let it go to me. I'm just going to kind of come back the next day and stretch out again. So one good long toss, you know, kind of getting warmed up for it. Where I'm really going to get excited for Corbin Burns is when it starts to get a little bit warmer. We're getting into June, July, starting to get down to the stretch, especially June, looking at the schedule. I mean, you've got one day off. And those are the times that I'm going to be much more excited about Corbin Burns of like, can you give me 7? Can you give me 8 innings in order to stretch out the bullpen so that we don't burn through it? That's where I'm going to be really excited.
Well, I'm going to be 4 Rodrigo Lopez start excited for Corbin Burns. And what I mean by that is I think that he is 4 times the pitcher Rodrigo Lopez was.
What about Michael Gonzalez?
We're not talking about
that. Okay.
We're not talking. In fact, my hatred of Michael Gonzalez's appearance on that opening day is, I don't know, three protesters.
Wow, that's a lot of gasoline.
Corbin Burns has the opportunity to hit a milestone here in Baltimore. Again, he's going to be here for a good time, not for a long time. It's fine. But he's 130 strikeouts away from 1,000.
Okay.
You imagine late in the season, I don't know, at some point in the season, he has the opportunity to do that here in Baltimore. Yeah. A little bit of excitement. I am going to be two digits unrolled in the warehouse excited for that particular milestone.
I'm going to be a 40 decibel golf clap excited.
Okay.
It'll be a nice thing. Tip of the cap. But again, since he's not a hometown boy and he hasn't probably going to be with the organization for a long period of time, it's a thanks for being here. Congratulations. We'll see what team you are on next year.
You don't think they're going to pull out the Whitney Houston song and have him take a lap?
If that happens, great. I think we'll do that if he sends an extension. How about that?
Okay. All right. That's fine. Corbin Burns, not the only guy that we're excited to see. I ask you this. Colton Cowser, will Colton Cowser be in the starting lineup on opening day?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Well, wait a second. So we're going against a lefty. Cowser's a righty or lefty? I can't even remember now.
He is a hitter.
Oh, come on. Like, help me out here on the handiness standpoint. Someone's going to yell at me about this. Oh my gosh, I really should know this. So he bats left-handed. So no, he's probably not going to, in essence, be in the lineup.
If you got to cheer for him on opening day, how many moos of excitement out of 10 would that be for you?
One long and loud moo.
One long and loud moo. All right. I can accept that as an answer.
Yeah.
I can accept that as an answer. We talked about David Rubenstein now officially owning the Orioles, being the control person for the Orioles, being in the driver's seat, taking over for a group that we didn't have a whole lot of trust for when it came to the baseball operations decisions. My question to you is, in light of that, what is your level of excitement? And I would like you to phrase this in the unit of measure of honeymoon periods. How many honeymoon periods excited are you to deal with Rubenstein?
I am 3.5 out of 5 non-Jake English honeymoon periods.
Okay. Okay. That's very specific.
Well, listen, I don't want a repeat of 2005, and, you know, it's just bad things happen with certain honeymoon periods.
That's very true. That's very true. The first thing that all of us obviously think when we hear new ownership, lots of money in the ownership group, is extensions.
Uh-huh.
Walk me through a little bit your level of excitement should one, more, or many of those extensions take place.
Sure. So I think I would give it 8 out of 10 Adley hugs for an Adley Rutschman extension.
Makes sense.
I think it's going to happen. I think today we had the Will Smith extension from the Dodgers. That, in essence, sets the market. I don't see how the Adley extension doesn't happen in the very near future.
I mean, maybe I am.
You're extremely pessimistic.
I'm not accustomed to this new world, Scott.
Yes.
Today, officially new ownership took place. Today, we had a conversation about whether or not the Orioles are the favorites to win the World Series, according to a somewhat reputable source. I'm not ready for a world in which all of those things are true. And, oh, by the way, this homegrown talent who's amazing might also be extended because I've dealt with a lifetime of disappointment in that.
Jake, we're just covering your honeymoon period, correct?
We are.
So, again, as an individual that is a scientific background, correct? I have made the determination, you know, after countless research and countless looking into this, that the Orioles' well-being and goodness is inversely proportional to your happiness and your personal life. So, Jake, personally, if you're doing really poor in your personal life, the Orioles are doing great. If you're doing great and, you know, you just got married and everything like that, the Orioles are, in essence, in tank mode. So
Orioles are going to be fine this season. I like it.
Jake's just gritting his teeth right now, just like, these are the sacrifices I have to make. For at least a period of time.
I am, like I said, really looking forward to tomorrow. Is there anything that we've left off the list of excitement and units of measure?
I mean, we talked about the extensions. We talked about everything else. We talked a little bit about Tony Kemp, but, you know, I don't think we got to talking about Jackson Holliday, and we'll call it, you know, what we think about the whole situation around that. But I guess my question is, if you had to give it a unit of measure specifically in the matter of weeks that it's going to take for us to see Jackson Holliday, how many weeks do you think it's going to take us to see Jackson Holliday?
The moment after it doesn't cost service time.
So Super 2 status, basically. So yes. We'll see what that comes out to be. I think it's going to be somewhere at the ballpark as well of like 6 weeks.
I think it will be three hairs from his golden locks past the service time.
Yeah. And again, I get what all the announcements were specifically talking about. Like, well, he needs time to develop. You know, he's only had so many plate appearances at AAA. Okay, that's fine. But in reality, like, let's call a spade a spade. This is an aspect of, we can get an extra year out of it. It's not going to hurt us too bad at the beginning of the season. Because again, you know, you look at, we talked about this last year in the schedule, and it's a similar standpoint this year as well. April looks to be another weaker month ahead for the Baltimore Orioles. So, you know, I wonder if the Orioles are just like, I think we can sneak by in April and do okay. But by the time June rolls around and we are hitting some of the really good teams, we want to have our best team on the roster at that time.
Let me ask you a question about goodwill.
Yeah.
Imagine a world. The Orioles have ownership that we don't have a great deal of distrust for.
Yeah.
The Orioles are performing well in the standings year after year after year. If the Orioles, all those things being true, start signing homegrown players for extensions, if all of those things are true, and the Orioles continue, like most other clubs, to manipulate service time, are we more forgiving as a fan base of that when it happens because we have all the other good stuff?
I think we do. I think honestly, some people will come back and tell you this, like, you guys are being really cynical, but I do think that there is an aspect. And again, as a Ravens fan, we always talk about this standpoint of like, well, that's just business. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just business. And I think it's a similar standpoint to how we'll treat the Orioles of like, if you're willing to commit money to certain players, we understand that the business or the game has to be played, is the best way to put it. But I think it's, you know, a matter, we look back at like Manny Machado and we look at all this, you know, homegrown talent that in essence walked away. And reality, like, the only person you really signed on a long-term basis was Adam Jones. So I definitely think, you know,
and Chris Davis,
we don't talk about him, but yeah, but Chris Davis, you're right. But yeah, it's just, I think we need to have an Adley signing. I think they have to do a Gunner signing. And then, you know, if, you know, they let Grayson walk for some reason, or they, you know, service manipulate Mayo next year again, or Basayo, or whoever it may be, I think it's going to be like, okay.
It's the cost of doing business.
That's the cost of doing business. It is what it is. We'll deal with it. But I think that if we go and, you know, John Mioli talked about this in his article after the holiday thing, standard guide, by continue to kick the can and continue to do this aspect of like service manipulate, keep the payroll low, and in essence don't have anybody with, you know, long-term signings. It just, there's no fear anymore, but it just kind of gets into the, you get thinking about the standpoint of like, how much do I really believe in this organization?
Yeah.
So.
Absolutely. Well, Scotty, I'm very excited. Very excited.
Everyone should be super excited. Like, I know that's a little negative, but everyone should be super excited about the upcoming year. Again, it didn't go exactly the way it was supposed to, as Derek Arnold pointed out to me. I predicted that Jackson Holliday would be the opening day second baseman. Once again, I have proven that we are baseless opinions and have no information from the inside sources. But I think, you know, ultimately, I'll come back to, I think I mentioned this every single year, I'll come back to an article that Andrew Stetka wrote, and he mentioned this standpoint of the baseball season is a marathon. And we've talked about this. This is why I've kind of, you know, muted myself a little bit on opening day, because I know this is going to be an incredibly long season. It's going to be 6 months of nail biting and pacing and agony, winning streaks, losing streaks, and we're going to live and die each day and each game. So, you know, it stinks that Jackson Holliday is not up at opening day. I would love to see him run down the arch carpet, but by gosh, like you said, whenever, you know, the service time allows it, I will be probably at one of those first games that Jackson Holliday debuts, just like I was for Matt Wieters, for Manny Machado, and I will be cheering the heck out of him. And I will be super excited for the next chapter in Orioles baseball.
Nicely done. All right, we had to come up with new units of measure to describe it, but that is it. Birdland, we're looking forward to seeing you tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow. And from there, we're going to step aside, we're going to blow the save, and we're going to come back out and get out. Scotty, there's nothing new, there's nothing insightful, and there's nothing particularly deep that you and I can say to add to the ongoing conversation about the Key Bridge tragedy. Clearly a terrible loss of life, a blow to a community, you know, symbolically even, and clearly a situation that is going to economically transform Maryland and the surrounding area for quite some time, right? One of the things that I think is interesting about moments like this is how much we collectively as a group connected, you know, with that incident. You know, everybody, a lot of the reactions I read were, you know, gosh, I was just on that bridge, or I see that bridge every day on my commute, or whatever. This incident affects everybody deeply because, again, so many people connect with the city. And so one of the things that I would love to see come out of this is people continuing to stay true to that connected identity, because I think that the world needs more of the we're in this together type of feel. Again, horrible, horrible loss of life. And, you know, something that's obviously incredibly serious. But one of the more redeeming moments for me personally has been just seeing so many people, you know, having empathetic and compassionate responses. I hope that continues, you know, as the rebuild continues.
Yeah. And again, we were just mentioning him before, but Derek Arnold, you know, friend of the podcast, has a great article up on RussellStreetReport.com. It's called "The Key Bridge Wasn't Just a Bridge to Us." Highly recommend giving it. It's about a 5 or 6 minute read. Really paints the picture of how big of a deal the Key Bridge obviously is to, you know, not just the city of Baltimore, but again, talking about the aspects of like Dundalk and Edgemere and stuff like that too. It really forms that whole picturesque aspect of the Patapsco River. And again, like you said, it's going to be really interesting to see how the city does coming off of this, what they do to, in essence, rebuild this, create, you know, this image that it is for the Patapsco River going into the Inner Harbor area. But yeah, I mean, it's an absolute devastating standpoint as it relates to the lives that were lost, but also for the economy. We always talk about Baltimore City and this Rust Belt mentality that we have, and this is going to absolutely impact that kind of Rust Belt port city standpoint that the Port of Baltimore, in essence, has embraced for a while. So we'll see how, you know, Baltimore does with this, and we'll see how much business is lost on this to other ports, you know, in the years to come.
Baltimore and beyond, we say it all the time. We love you. And that is our show. Remember, you can find this in our entire catalog of indispensable episodes at birdseyeviewbaltimore.com.
Bird's Eye View is available for download wherever it is you get your podcasts. Please subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, YouTube Music, which again is replacing Google Podcast, Spotify, and many others. Please remember to rate and review the show We appreciate the feedback and encourages other people to listen for the first time.
Come and get social with us. You can email us at contact@birdseyeviewbaltimore.com. You can find us all over on social media. We've got Blue Sky. We're on Threads. We have an Instagram account, Facebook, Snapchat. We're on the Ticks and the Talks. But the best place to find us is on a site that used to be called Twitter, where we do something that used to be called tweeting at Bird's Eye View, B-A-L. And with that, Baltimore and beyond will bid you a fond adieu.
So I always say every single week, good night, Baltimore. Please be safe out there, and let's go O's. I'm pumped. I'm so excited.
Opening day.
Opening day is here. I'm just so excited. So, yeah, it's going to be an emotional year.
I think the unit of measure is one episode under an hour excited.
That can't happen. Maybe with under new ownership.
It's the next chapter.
The next chapter.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.